Supervisor Skoliski is excused, he's out of business. We have everyone else in attendance, and our two youth and governors, Chad, Miles, and Javier are here. So before we start, we have some gentlemen here that are doing some filming for youth and governors. And would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm James Wells, I'm the career coaches.
I'm Dan Jarris, I'm also the career coaches.
And career coaches is?
Organization that does a training program for high school age youth in media and IT.
So they're going to be filming and doing some snippets for youth and governance. And with that, we have some releases here that, so they would have to sign both of them?
Yeah, until the one runs out, which will be quickly.
So, I probably better have one for sure.
Okay.
So you would take one of each of these, and if you are being filmed this evening, they would like a release form signed. I believe this was their intent.
Sure.
So we pass around, we may have to run some off.
I looked a little light. I might have to grab one of each of those and run a few extra copies.
So, with that, the next thing, get into here is approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. If everyone received a copy of that, if I could, a motion approved.
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Skoliski, seconded by Supervisor Franco. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The governance is?
Aye.
All right, I have no major comments. I tour the parks constantly on weekends, and I, as Matt will attest, we have been just jammed with the parks. I know Dan has picked up when the weather has gotten better with the golf and with the parks. We've had two unprecedented weekends at Silver Lake Park, where we actually had to close not only the park, but Highway F. That was a holiday weekend where the train was blocking in Silver Lake, and we were just at wit's end that day, as was the Sheriff's Department. So we are just breaking records as far as attendance over there. At all the parks, going through Foxborough Park on the weekend with the disc golf and the new playground. And Pat's, I've heard the beer garden is just going all the way out and very busy now. Matt will be talking about the events coming up there. I want to mention that there's certainly a whole lot going on in all our departments. Any other committee members have anything they'd like to add?
I do. First of all, I want to thank meeting with Matt out at Hanson's Ice Cream Parlor. That was a nice meeting. We didn't have any ice cream. There were some issues that the village will take care of now. I guess they'll move forward whatever they're going to move forward with. Mike Coulot, and then I had Bill Hopkins on the phone as well. So we're just looking over some traffic issues there. And it's just a wonderfully successful ice cream shop. It opened last year, and it's right in the middle of the block, which creates other issues. So we're trying to get them to, and they're very much wanting to be involved in slowing the traffic down and getting them noticed and doing the right things. So, could I give us some good ideas? And the village will have to be forward with them. And I also like to thank Ray and Dan for giving me the full dollar tour of at least Brightonvale and what's going on over there. The things have been invested in from the county side of things. I see a lot of good things, and it continues. And then we eventually get them. They do a great job. Just continue to roll on that hill. That's something we need to focus on and keep focused on, pressure on. Thank you very much.
Yeah, was that comment of anyone else that hasn't, I don't want it to have. And the rest of us, a little more veteran attitude. Our staff is more than willing to take people around, and you did a 5 o'clock. So, if there's nothing else there, we'll move on to citizens' comments. Any citizens that would like to address the committee on any matter pertaining to public works and facilities, we just ask that you state your name and address, and you would have 5 minutes to speak. Any citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments approved. So we'll start with our first division this evening. It is Hiley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you can tell, the weather has been really favorable for maintenance work, so the division is taking the advantage, and we are completing major county-wide maintenance operations such as mowing, shouldering, crack sealing, cover repairs, and trash pickup. It's also favoring the paving operations. And last month, we completed 2.5 miles of paving on County Trunk Highway EA from County Trunk Highway S to County Trunk Highway E. We are in the process of prepping County Trunk Highway JB. As a matter of fact, we could have started paving on County Trunk Highway JB today, but because of the weather, the rain, it was postponed to maybe tomorrow. We'll see how the weather goes. However, we are hoping that by the end of August, County Trunk Highway JB will have been completed. We are also doing maintenance operations for the state. Right now, we still seriously engage in the repair project on Highway 101. We are projected to complete the project by mid-September. Other maintenance operations that the county is performing for the state is also mowing. I also mowing trash pickups at various locations on I-94, State Trunk Highway 50, Highway 31, and State Trunk Highway 35. In other project updates, County Trunk Highway S. I know again I keep repeating it here, but just sometimes the information by the time we get to the state is a little bit obsolete. We got feedback from revision comments from FHWA as far as County Trunk Highway S is concerned, that's the project from SH to I-94, or from 31 to I 31 to I-94, SH, but it's 31. We got revision comments from FHWA on the environmental document. The consultant has implemented all the revision comments and is back with FHWA, so we are hoping anytime from now the environmental document, or the what we call the draft environmental document, will be approved. After that, we're going to organize what they call a public hearing. If anybody's interested to present some major impacts as far as the project is concerned on their properties, their livelihood, they can request for a hearing. They'll have about 30 days. Beyond that, then the environmental document will go into complete approval. So that's where we are with F. And then after the environmental document is completely approved, then if the document will be forwarded to FAA, and then FAA will automatically issue the concurrency use permit.
Well, they've indicated that they're automatically going to do that. We're a little bit cynical, given the track record that we kept the committee aware of. But it sounds like we're in the home stretch. It sounds like it.
County Trunk Highway W Embankment Restoration Project. This project was led last month, and it's scheduled to start in the last week of August, and is projected to be completed in the first week of November. Viet and Company from Rogers, Minnesota, has been retained to execute the project. This is just a county project, just to restore the border, the embankment. If those of you who have driven on W, you have, there's this location where you have the barrier walls, because the slope, the embankment is failing. So we are trying to restore that and improve the structural integrity at that location.
Is that where the
Body of Water.
Straighten the road last year?
No, 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 way to Body of Water.
Further south, there's a, you'll see some cement.
Yeah.
Along there, and over the years, it's been getting closer and closer and closer. Now it's critical.
Yeah. I just wonder.
Remember that little party farm?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and there's another project that was supposed to be here, because I just recently got the updates just last week. It's County Trunk Highway F from O to where you're going to have the new realignment of County Trunk Highway F. The environmental, the draft environmental document has been approved and it has been advertised, and we are waiting for those who would like to present themselves or to discuss impacts of their property and livelihood as far as that project is concerned for the next 30 days, or I would just say for the next 6 weeks. And beyond that, then we would have completed the process of environmental documents. So County Trunk Highway F is on track. Hopefully, by the end of the year, we should be start acquiring properties for the road construction.
Construction would be that in 2019.
Well, we hope to start at least the bedrock in at the end of 2019. But then again, seeing what is happening with right-of-way acquisition is a little bit unpredictable. But with all everything said and done, we are hoping that we start construction in 2020.
Do we have all the property purchased for that now? Is that
not yet.
That's what you were talking about. Right.
Okay. Yes. Right. We can only.
None of it's perfect. Okay. So
we only start acquiring property after the environmental document is
approved. Okay, that's why the environmental document. Okay.
However, we can also apply for early acquisition, and if it's approved, then they can give us permission to start acquiring, especially those properties that requires total relocation. And so we are in the process of doing that too.
And everyone's aiming to selling and just have to get through it, or would we talk to
Well,
I mean, have we gotten the
owners? 2 years ago we had our first public hearing.
Yeah.
There's two relocations. They're both right across from the church now. The rest is just right of way.
Okay.
And fortunately, we own the majority of them.
Yeah.
With their purchases that we've done.
Yeah. Right. And I know from the power
side. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Got a question. I was reading an article a couple months ago, and I wanted to read in of the economic and environmental benefits of using warm mix asphalt as opposed to hot mix asphalt. I guess a two-part question, even though I asked the chair before. Can you go into some detail? First of all, do we use warm mix asphalt over against hot mix asphalt? And can you explain more, depending on if it's yes or no, and why we do or why we don't?
We do not use warm mix. Warm mix is... they're still working on the design aspect of warm mix. We use cold mix or hot mix. And the warm mix is that the advantage of the hot mix and what the other cold and warm mix are struggling to be comparable to hot mix is the durability, workability, and the speed at which you can complete the project. And the other aspect which is not really considered is the aesthetics, the view. Once it is well compacted, the hot mix looks really nice, smooth, the rideability is good. With the cold patch, sometimes, you know, cold patch, you just pound it, usually used for quick repairs. And so the compaction doesn't really work very well. And so the rideability is not as good, the durability is not as good. For warm mix, I have very little knowledge yet. I don't know much about warm mix, but I know warm mix will also have the same challenges that the cold mix have.
I don't either, and I just read this article, and I wanted to bring it up because according to this article, they were saying that it's economically, it saves you money and over the long term, and it also is better for the environment. So I just wanted to point that out. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it, but that's why I was asking.
I'll probably read that after.
I can give you the article if you want.
Right. What are county projects are the 2018 road improvement program, other projects? County Trunk Highway AH, the project, most of you who live in that area, is substantially completed. Just some punch list items and some additional work. I think we got a request for a flashing beacon to alert travelers, so we are trying to install that, and that's a few things that are pending. But technically speaking, it's completed. And I think if you drive through it, the rideability is really good. Improves, I'll say improves safety in the sense that the roads were, the shoulders were a little bit widened, and so cyclists, it's not the best, but we did the best that we could for the site conditions that we had. The other local road improvement project is County Trunk Highway EA, from County Trunk Highway E to County Trunk Highway KR. The contractor will be starting sometime mid-August, maybe in 2 weeks' time. And County Trunk Highway E, this project has actually started, but they're having challenges with the railroad. They just obtained the permit yesterday, but they still have to schedule for a flagger while they're working close to the railroad. And we don't know how long that's going to take. But the contractor is working towards getting the flaggers. Other than that, those were all the projects that we have. Just one more. For the miscellaneous projects, we were approached by We Energy because they wanted to discuss about the proposed lecture lateral project, which came up some few weeks about a few months back. And so right now they want to approach us, and we're having a first meeting tomorrow, and we'll be able to provide you more information in the next meeting. We still don't know much about the project. And then listed on this report are just the long-term closures. I just like to leave them there so that when you, once in a while, you can just be able to respond to questions from constituents just in case. So other than that, I think that's all I have for today.
Any questions for
Tom?
Yes.
Yeah, on that, We Energy's proposed Lakeshore lateral project, we talked about that in the PDEC committee, and we hope the route goes through the Ballin Recreation instead of County Trunk Highway B.
Goes through where?
The Ballin Recreation area. That way there would be less Balling impact on the BONG, Ballin Recreation. That way there'd be less impact on the public. So I'd appreciate you advocating for that.
Is it BB or B?
Just B, I believe.
Might be BB actually was one of the roads at one time.
But which one by that distillery and winery?
Right, by the winery. So that one's B, and then there's BB runs I think it was, it affected both of them, I'm pretty sure.
It's good to get it. I'll make sure that they get our consent.
But none of their routes were on the south side of 142. They're all on the other side.
Right.
Anything else for Clem? We'll move on to Mr. Collins and Parks, and I guess before Matt gets started, the first thing we have on here that I'll ask the committee to do, we have a representative on the Pringle Nature Center Board, as we do with other nonprofits like the Kemper Center Board. We have a county board representative, and the county executive has nominated Monica Juhas to sit in that position, and she has agreed, which is very nice. I know I sit on the library board, and Leo Blau, I think, sat on the Pringle board before that. Kemper, I'm not sure who's on that right now, but it is a very nice thing to agree to do. There's minimal meetings, but it's another meeting, and it's there's work, and you report to them, to the county board, and watch the financials and give the county's input. So I'm asking this committee then to confirm that nomination. So we would just need to do that and send it to the county board. So we would ask for a motion and a second to, and then we'll vote on it.
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Franco, seconded by Supervisor Wambo. Any discussion or questions on it? If not, I'll start with youth and governance. Gentlemen?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
So we can send that, thank you, Monica. We'll send that to the county board. Okay, Matt?
The first thing on the Parks Division agenda is the consideration of a resolution to authorize the purchase of Schaefer property bordering Petrifying Springs Park. I apologize for the lateness in adding this resolution, but these things, once they get going, they move pretty fast with these private properties and acquiring them. This was actually part of the sewer PAC 2035 plan for some time, and this is the final remaining private property within the Petrifying Springs Park corridor that is not held publicly by the county. If anyone's familiar with Green Bay Road in the corner of County Highway JR, it's basically almost on that intersection. I passed along a map to, and it's highlighted in yellow on the border of that private property over there. I would say maybe roughly 10 years ago or so, we acquired the Thompson property on the corner of JR and Green Bay Avenue. And again, that was also on that sewer PAC 2035 plan. So this came about, and it's one of those things that you don't want to miss this opportunity, because once it goes out, it's really hard to acquire these properties thereafter. So this is going to be a great benefit to the park. It enhances the trail system for people to acquire the upwind bluff area of Petrifying Springs Park. There's actually a natural spring, so it makes complete sense to me to have a natural spring within Petrifying Springs Park. So the resolution in front of you would be to approve the purchase of that property. The total purchase request amount is $150,000, and it was already included within the 2018 capital improvement project budget, just for these types of opportunities that you don't know when they're going to become available, but it's always good to have budgets on hand to acquire these properties.
For the committee's information, in the past, we put this money into the budget and acquired properties down near our downtown campus that have proven to be a huge advantage. That's where our fleet maintenance building is now, in one of the buildings that we acquired. Corporation Council keeps an eye on real estate, and when this type of thing came up, he had to make a fairly fast move. As I said, the money was in the budget just for this reason. We've kind of covered this piece of property because it does take up a little corner in a county park, because it was private property that was never acquired. That's the history is the acquisition that we've done on numerous parcels, especially at the downtown campus in the last 5 years. But I think 3 years ago, a big one was Brookside, property on both sides, where we were able to expand Brookside. And again, $150,000 for a wooded parcel like that is a very good, very good price.
I was just going to add a little bit. I don't know all the details and personal details about the family situation, but basically it was kind of a fluke, like you indicated, Mr. Chairman. The Corporation Council reads the obituaries, and that's what happened. They spotted that the person had passed away. They contacted the heirs and worked through whatever estate planning issues were part of the process. And bottom line is the property became available from the son. I think, I don't know if there's more than one sibling that's involved, but the estate was set up such that they worked out the deal. The Corp Council told me that when they set up the trust in 2006, they actually valued this at $130,000 in 2006. So that kind of supported the $150,000. I don't know what the starting asking price was, but I know that this is less than that. There was some negotiation that occurred. So the Corporation Council felt this was definitely the time to put this on the table, and it happened fairly quickly, as Matt indicated.
It's the area in yellow, correct?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. How big of an area is it?
1.1 acres.
1.1 acres.
Yes.
And we have money in the budget?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on this?
I'm just trying to get a...
What's the tax loss?
I believe the assessed value of the property was about $108,000, $110,000. From a county perspective, what's our tax rate right now? Well, I'll go with a summer's tax rate. I think the summer's tax rate is in the 21, so it would probably be in the, off the top of my head, $3,000-ish, probably, let's say.
That's total tax, not
total.
The county side.
Yeah, the county piece of that would probably be, again, ballpark, I'm going to say $600-$700.
It's about 20% of that.
Really well.
Just under the yellow is that green, what is that? Is that where they were doing the excavating?
That's the Thomas property, right?
Right here.
The Thompson,
what's
yeah.
This?
Thompson, yeah. That's still labeled as residential.
Where the university uses that? No, that's residential?
That's
actually
well,
ours, but
now.
It's still labeled as residential. That's why you see a box around
yeah,
it, but that's county it. Property.
That's county property. There was excavation done by UW Parkside.
Right, that's what
yep.
I was wondering.
Yep.
Okay, and then, so this is all wooded.
Pretty much. There's a house on that, isn't there? Or do they take the
it's
house?
It's a shed.
So it's a shed. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a garage.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else?
Are there going to be any other monies needed to do something to the property? Like I said, there's a shed. Is there an old foundation we got to remove? Or
there's a house on the property.
There is a house. Are we keeping it?
We're probably going to demo the house,
okay.
And historically speaking, whenever we're able to, we work closely with the Summers Fire Department, and they can do that for the practicing. So we're hoping that it's minimal cost on the county. We'll have to do probably asbestos abatement and lead testing.
Right.
Those are pretty minimal, and then hopefully work with the local fire department
on
the rest.
Estimated numbers on that?
I would say typically, including like the septic abandonment and well abandonment. Because of, like Matt said, we typically will work with the fire department to burn it. If we did it straight up as a demo without burning it, it's probably about $20,000. So I'm going to say it's probably 10-ish or less to do the remaining
stuff. So we're probably at about $160,000. Has the $150,000 just a target number, or is that
no? That's a negotiated,
number?
Agreed to number.
That's an agreed
yep.
number, and it is in the budget. Then. All
yep.
This is already
yep.
With
we've
the
got
budget.
We've got money for property acquisition just like this when it comes to the building.
Yeah, why couldn't we just rent the property out instead of burning it?
It's from the 1880s. I personally haven't seen the inside from, but what I hear, it doesn't make sense to. There'd be major improvements that would be necessary to put that back onto a rental property.
I can see that.
Yeah.
The main reason here is to have it be part of the park plan. So trying not to have someone else on the property.
It's literally the last contiguous privately owned piece of property around, because UW Parkside owns stuff to the east of us, and this literally, it's that whole block then becomes either public park or university owned property, so it really kind of cleans it up.
If there's nothing else, I'd entertain a motion.
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Franco to approve the resolution.
Second
by Supervisor Duhas. Any further discussion? If not, you can governance.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
All right. Moving on to the division report.
Are we going to have both of these assigned then?
Yes.
Yeah.
First thing on the division report is Kemper Center Lakefront Studios. I've been giving the committee updates all along on the third and fourth floor project, and now I can say that it is complete. So we were able to figure out the last plumbing issue, put a filtration system on, and have tested it for several weeks. everything's running according to plan. So now Kemper will be sending out letters of interest to potential tenants, and they anticipate to start renting those studio spaces within the next month or so. So things are looking up for that project. Next item was KD Park Phase 2 development. As I stated previously, we received two separate grant awards to help offset the construction cost of Phase 2 for KD Park improvement, which includes a parking lot up by the dam, trailer parking down by the main parking lot, ADA ramp, multi-use dock, and boarding pier. So that project was bid out and awarded to DK Contractor Inc. for $353,550. And that project has started last week, so they have all their erosion fencing up, and they cleared out for the parking lot, the trailer parking, and that project should be done by the end of September as it stands right now. Next project on the list is the Pike River Restoration Phase 1. If you haven't been to Pets, it looks a little bit different than previously. We did all the tree removal, brush clearing, and grubbing, so that project, or that part of the project, is substantially complete. And all of that clearing was truly necessary because the main scope of that project is to widen out, wherever possible, the Pike River in order to take on substantial storm events and flooding issues that we've had in the park for years and years. So in order to do the necessary grading along the banks, we had to clear out all the shrubs and trees. But I would say about 95% of the vegetation that currently existed was undesirable, as it was a lot of invasive species. So after we're done, we'll be putting in a lot of native vegetation, tall grasses, trees, shrubs, in order to strengthen those banks as well. So things are moving along, and I'm sure more updates to be coming on that one. Other than that, you can see upcoming events of what's happening still in the parks. It's like Supervisor Elverman has said, it's been extremely busy in the parks, especially with the heat waves coming through. Even I heard reports over at Silver Lake Park that parking was into what they consider double overflow. So we fill up our main parking lot, we fill up an overflow, and then beyond the fee booth, we're parking cars outside of the whole entire beach area. And that's happened about five times, including the 4th of July this year. So we've never seen anything close to that, but this heat has just driven in a lot of people into our parks and our lakefront. So it's very popular and added revenue for our parks as well. One event to note is this coming Saturday on August 11th. We've been planning for almost a year with this one. We had the 90th anniversary last year, which was a hit over at Petrifying Springs Park. And this coming Saturday, we're bringing back Picnic in the Park. And this was an event last held 25 years ago or so with our then county executive, Collins. So we thought it'd be a good segue from the popularity of our 90th anniversary to do something within the beer garden corridor. So we're going to have interactive, free family games such as bounce houses and bubble soccer guns. So there's going to be 8 free kids activities there. We have about 12 different community groups, nonprofits, that are going to set up booths for educational features. We have live music from 11 o'clock till 8:30, followed by fireworks. So everything except for concessionable goods is free for the public. So I encourage everyone to come on out. And parking should be an ease because not only do we have the new JR parking lot and parking within the park, but we have a shuttle bus to drop off, pick up people at UW Parkside. So, like I say, it's going to be a good event, and looks like weather's going to cooperate as of right now. And that is all I have.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions for Matt on this? I will move on to Mike. I believe. Dan.
In golf operations, our next big initiative that we've been working on, and thank you, Mr. Kupfer, for all of your assistance, is the Kenosha County Executive Cup. We're having that Tuesday, September 11th. It'll be a great day where all our participants get lunch, dinner, play 18 holes, and we'll award prizes. We're raising funds for our junior golf program, which we had over 160 kids this year participate in that, and everybody's encouraged to play. It's probably the most affordable golf outing, especially with all we have to offer. I think, you know, we're filling up quite quickly, actually. So if you do have any plans that want to play, then I would get those entries in soon, really. The junior clinics are wrapping up. We have our last week of our 8-week program that had 105 children in it. We will host a parent-child tournament, and I'm sorry for the typo. This is coming up Sunday, the 12th at 3 p.m. I had on the 5th in the report, but it is the 12th. It's coming up this weekend, and so that's a good time. I mean, out of the 100 children, we probably get 80 to 100 total participation, including the parents that play with that, and they see how well that their children play now after they've completed the program, so that's great. The PGA Junior League wrapped up. Brightondale finished second. Petrifying Springs finished fourth out of six teams. We had a lot of fun. Brightondale's been doing really well every single year. I think we won the first 4 years and took second the last 2 years. We had a 1-week-long camp for the children from the Recplex, and now we have another one coming up starting August 13th, and that's from 1 to 3, Monday through Friday, the whole week long. And we give them an hour of instruction, and then they go out and play for an hour or so. It's really a fun program also. We hosted the Kenosha County Open on Saturday and Sunday, July 21st and 2nd. We had 47 golfers sign up, and the winners are listed there: Travis Engel, Jim Anderson, and Tony Catalino. Had a good time, but we were kind of disappointed with the total participation. We'd like to build that, so we're brainstorming ways that we might be able to build that event. The weather was not very cooperative that weekend. It was pretty rainy, and so hopefully with the, you know, some ideas, we'll get that to build. And then the Junior County Open was held the week before that, and that was won by Gavin Goldstein, and we're working on ways to build that one too. But we are receiving tremendous comments of the golf courses. I mean, everybody is really, really impressed with the guest experiences, with the golf course conditions. You know, even with all the heat and humidity and you know, the rain events and then lack of rain for such a long time, you know, it's the golf courses are really in great shape, and it's a daily occurrence where I get people coming up to me and saying how nice the golf courses are and what great shape they are in, and how much they appreciate being able to play there. So the only really big negative is the cart pass at Petrifying Springs, and we're working to fix them, but there are some really big potholes in those cart paths that, and now it's gravel areas. So, but it's beyond, you know, just trying to fix them because they're so dilapidated. So, and now I'm excited to work with the Lohman Golf Design, and we're working on the white birch bunker removal and renovation program. We're going to have a pre-construction meeting coming up next week, and so that should be a exciting time, and you know, Golf Creations and the Lohman Group will be there, and we'll be discussing, you know, how it's going to affect operations and when the golf course will be, you know, open, and what we're going to have to close down and how long it'll take. So it'll be a great project to get that done. I'm really excited about that. That's what we have going in golf.
Any questions for Dan? That we will now this time move on.
I'm going to start with the Focus on Energy project list. The KCDC upgrade to LED lighting is ongoing. That work started on May 7th, and it was supposed to wrap up the end of July. It's now going to wrap up the 10th of August. Our electrician's been pretty swamped with other department work. That's a higher priority. So next month, that one will be moved to the bottom of the list and completed. The other change on it is the courthouse project to replace the chiller. I added that one on. It's got a start date now of October 15th, and it's a $567,000 project, and it has right now a 10-year plus payback. When I get to the ongoing project list, we'll talk more about that. So that takes care of the focus on energy loan. So on the ongoing, first one on there is the fire alarm panel replacement project list. Got three buildings, KCAB, Molinaro, and the pretrial facility. Three panels were replaced, one of each one. That one, they all finally completed on 7/20. Small projects, that went real well. So that one will be gone next month. And then we get to the courthouse chiller replacement project. That one went out for bid. The low bid was Lee Plumbing. The bid came in quite a bit higher than we had anticipated. So we did is reviewed everything, and we're going to go with a recommendation to do the whole project. And that project includes replacing the chiller, two air handlers, pumps, motors, coils, and updating our control software. It's a pretty big project, over $500,000. But it's something we originally broke up into a couple phases, but it's become critical to do it all at once just to save costs with craning things on and off multiple times, shutting down the parking lots with a crane, coordinating that with the judges, weekend work. We originally weren't going to put the control work, the software control work in there, but as we're going through with the buildings and doing major HVAC work, we're taking advantage of the opportunity to introduce the new control software. There's too many things that are run by that to not do that with a big project. If we didn't, we'd be having two types of software in there running the HVAC stuff, and that's a big problem. So we have a resolution letter that Jim has with all the nitty-gritty details. Do you want to read that one? Then I'll just move on through the list.
Everybody look at the resolution. As Mike said, based on estimates we received, the total cost of this project is $573,500. We have in the budget an existing, for this project, $539,000, but we need an additional $34,500 of funding in order to accept the bid and put out POs. In order to complete this, we had also in this year's budget in the public safety building, we were going to replace one air handling unit for $34,500. So we're going to put that off. We were going to replace that based on it can sit and wait for another year. So we want to repurpose that money and add it to the $539,000 that we have in the budget. And that'll give us a total of $573,500. So we're moving money from one appropriation at one place to another appropriation at another place. So we need approval of our committee here, the finance committee, and then it'll go to the county board. There's a budget resolution attached to all the paperwork. So we're asking for your approval.
So to clarify, the money is in the budget. It's going to be used for another purpose. We prioritized the project, and as Mike stated, we would add double that if we split this off into two projects or put some of the total project off. So the wise move, according to all the experts, was to put a project off that can wait. And there we go. Supervisor Gordon?
Do we know why they were off about 6 or 7% from the, is that common for budget numbers to be lower than what commonly goes in?
Increased.
So this is one of the things we've been trying to share with the committee is that we're seeing on any number of projects and specific trade type. This is a very limited. It's basically just HVAC, some minor electrical work. Yeah. We only had two bidders. And a project this size in a normal year, I would have expected us to have at least three, if not four, and some folks from out of the community. We only had Lee locally and Just Service. Those were the only two bidders. And we didn't even get Mark Peterson, which typically bids on anything like this as a local project. They will definitely bid. They have a bid. And it's because everybody is so booked up.
So the bid came in, actually the bid was, I think, relative to the original estimate, was closer to like 15% higher, but that's what we're seeing. It's like 15 to 20% higher. In some cases, on like earlier in the meeting, Matt indicated DK Contractors had won the KD Park bid. They're actually a local excavator, real good, not a huge outfit. They've done work on probably 3 county projects in the last year. I saw in the paper that they were awarded a substantial contract for Foxconn. So I'm guessing they're going to be taken out of the pool for our local stuff. And they've been one, like I said, been very successful because they've been very competitive on their bidding. It's kind of what's happening. So we're trying to be judicious on what projects right. we have to do and what we can put off. This project is really at the end of its useful life. We've been kicking this can down the road a while, and we don't want to put it off any longer, and so that's why we want to get it done now.
Well, you did mention about updating the software. Was that in the original bid, or was that added later?
It's added later.
So that's part of the difference in the cost.
It is, yeah, big part of
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to get a clarification
on
that. Yep. I thought there was some limited amounts now of contractors, and but was it also part of the software?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
And we have been, I know I did and Ray did also, but I did it about a year and a half ago, talking about what could happen here, and we're starting to see it. I know I keep mentioning that, but another real good example of it is that Highway W project, which is a substantial project, and the guys from Minnesota, you know, we couldn't even get people from around here bid on it.
That was actually, that was the, to me, that was kind of a little bit of a golden lining to that, because it's to the point where folks that wouldn't normally even bid on work here are starting to look at us. And this guy from Minnesota was low bid relative to the in-state.
So we actually hope he sticks around.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Bring some friends with him.
Exactly.
Anything else for Jim on this resolution? If not, we have a motion.
I'm going to accept the resolution.
Moved by Supervisor Morgan.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Frankel. Any questions or discussion? If not, youth and governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye. Aye.
So, Jim, do you have that for us to sign this evening?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, Mike.
Moving on to the third one. KCDC Group Coupling Replacement Project. This was bid out a while back. We had a pre-construction meeting now on the 25th of July. Work is scheduled to start on the 4th. It's going to take about 6 weeks to do the job, and it'll be done by the 12th of October. That one actually came in very good, but it was bid out just a little bit before this all hit, I think. So right on T with that one. Last one is a new one I added. It's the Mercer County Job Center boiler replacement. There's two boilers down there, small package hot water boilers. One is shot. We've shut it down because the heat exchanger is leaking. The other one's carrying us through for reheat for the summer, but going into winter, we have to have two boilers. There's no doubt about it. It's at its end of life. It just has to be done. We'd love to put it off till next year, but with the courthouse chiller project getting done at the end of fall, we had to find the money to do it. So this, again, is kind of like that. So this is a project that requires replacing the two hot water boilers at the job center before the heating season to be on end of life. Placement cost is projected to be near $60,000 for the two. And again, Jim has a resolution letter that will explain it all.
Yeah, this one's a little different. These two projects are, or that we're going to get the money from it, they're all in the same budget appropriation level. So what we have to do as far as the getting it approved, we don't have to do a resolution that has to go from committee to committee. We have to write a letter to the finance committee, but we always pass it through this committee first to make sure that you're aware of it. So there's $60,000 that's available within the, we've had a great success the last 2 years with a couple of our roofing projects. There's some funds left over in the roof budget, so we will move $60,000 from roofing to replace these two boilers. They have been in the budget kind of out in future years for years and years, and we just never did them. So, but now they're at the point where they have to be replaced. So that's what we hope to do, and we'd like your approval.
Yeah, thank you. How often do you have to change boilers on average? How long do they normally last?
Each unit has its own end of life, but in particular with these, they're 15, maybe 20 years.
Oh, they last that long? Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the small ones do. The great big Cleaver Brooks ones, they're, you just keep rebuilding them.
How about chillers?
No. You can rebuild them, but usually the technology changes. Our thing with the chillers right now is our 22, the refrigerant, has been obsolete for a long time. And right now, the stockpile that they saved up is really becoming depleted. Every year, the cost per pound goes higher and higher and higher. And we need to get on to the next generation refrigerant, and that's an attempt with the courthouse one to do that.
And if I can just mention one other thing, the courthouse, there is possibly grant money available, and we applied for a grant for that. So we might get some funds that would help reduce the cost for that, and then we'll just put that back into the capital fund.
On the KCDC group coupling replacement, do couplers have to replace every so often as well?
Because
this has replaced leaking couplings throughout the system. Like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, when they came out, that build, when the building was built, it was a new type of thing where you didn't put this pipe together and weld the joints because it was a big labor savings. And of course, like anything new, you don't find out.
Tested
it's
long
not
enough to really determine.
Right.
The
so what's happening is there's a big giant coupler that goes over and clamps onto this joint, and you groove each side.
Yeah.
You know, a little sort of O-ring.
Yeah,
that's
like
that's
O-ring
part of the coupler.
And they compress.
And the O-ring has failed. So
is it just replacing O-rings? They have to.
Well, we're welding everything we can this time.
That's right.
We're welding every joint we can this time. The ones we can't get at because they're up in the ceiling, tied to a wall or something, they're going to get big joints.
Those just have to
be. Yeah, Vitalik is the brand.
Okay, so again, it was new at the time. There was no real long-term on these O-rings.
Yeah,
it's
technically not like the chillers. It's not an end-of-life thing. It's just component failure.
It's a maintenance thing at this point.
Yeah.
Hopefully
many, many years later.
So how long ago did these go?
Well, they're original to the building. So KCDC was built 18 years ago?
97?
What
something
was that?
97, I think, was the detention center. Yeah.
So for about 21 years.
And they've been leaking.
When did a coupling start leaking?
Oh, they've been leaking for about 7 years.
Yeah.
Worse every year. So every time we have the heat temperature drop of the glycol and those things, and everything changes, shrinks, and contracts, and you get leaks all over the building. In the jail, and that's not good.
And the other nifty thing they did, they didn't have any shutoffs when they installed these.
Yes.
So you have to shut down an entire wing or half the building to make one leak repair.
Sure.
So we're
adding extensions.
Are engineers to belts or shutoffs?
Yeah. Back in the 90s, there was a lot of, let's say, stuff behind the scenes that didn't get the attention. I'd like to think that we're giving it now. So this was one of those things. There was literally, it was the equivalent of in your house, because I lived in a house like this.
1960s house.
Right, where they had, you had a leaky faucet, you got to replace one. Thing, but you have to shut the water main off in order to fix that. That's what this
is
exactly
like.
Yep.
So, you basically, we don't need a resolution for this.
No.
The money is in, and it is savings, and I know I've reported that for a couple of years too on the road project. Mm-hmm. So it's not even moving from another group.
No, it's just information only for this committee, but we like you to be aware of everything that's going on.
Anything else, Mike?
That's it.
You can go fishing. Oh, no, that's next Friday.
This Friday.
Yeah, is it?
Unfortunately,
it is
next Friday is when I'm
going
back. And I'm like,
yeah. Well, you take Highway 12.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, Frank.
Mr. Chairman, public safety building and pretrial roof replacement. We did have some rain earlier and some heat that delayed us a little, but the roof membrane was completely replaced. It's watertight at both buildings. So right now they just need to finish up the sheet metal work on the buildings. They're looking at the PSB, looking at the 7th here, and pretrial we're looking at August 17th. No questions there. We'll go on to Anderson Art Center. We hit our next scheduled milestone of the development of design drawings. And that was on July 18th. Again, we're targeting development of complete bid level plans and specs for September 1st to go out to bid. And again, we're looking at beginning construction in early 2019. No questions. Branch room court, branch one courtroom renovation project. We sat down with Judge Bastianelli and CUNY Architects on July 16th, went through their entire list. CUNY Architects went back and are making preliminary drawings. We're still trying to target development of the complete bid level plans and specs by September 21st, and we're going to still try to get the construction beginning in November.
Question.
Yeah.
How is this different from Branch 4 renovation project? I mean, why do we have to do complete new plans? Is it a different layout, or what is it?
Yes, actually, it's a good question. Each courtroom is a complete different layout. Each courtroom is unique. And this particular courtroom, there were some old original ones, like the ceremonial courtroom hadn't changed. They had to add new branches over the years, so they actually took ones that were, you know, actually two stories tall with vaulted ceilings, added a floor, and then put a courtroom in a courtroom, so they're all kind of unique.
Okay, thank you.
The last couple things I'll report on are, I mentioned at the last meeting something about the county fire radio program, and I only bring that up because Public Works is responsible for all the infrastructure for all the public safety communication systems. I have confirmed, I just actually saw the fire chief that's the head of the county fire consortium. I saw him at lunch today, and he indicated that Twin Lakes is the last piece in there. The last piece of equipment they needed came in last week, so they should be switching over the entire county fire network to the new frequency, which, although it won't improve the strength of the signal, the fact that it won't be interrupted by adjacent signals will still be a big improvement. So that should occur this month, as long as the county fire guys stay on top of it. It's kind of a little bit like herding squirrels, because they are just that, they're a consortium. There's still all these independent little agencies, and they try to coordinate, they meet monthly, but it's still kind of a challenge to do that. But that's the goal, is to have that done. In addition to that, we put out an RFP that was kind of a long time in development for something called Public Safety Radio Communications Simulcast System. So the two agencies, I'll say agencies, that have countywide missions, as I think I mentioned probably last month, is the Sheriff's Department and this County Fire Consortium. Those are the only two things that have an entire countywide mission. Well, the simulcast system basically would allow, without getting into all this technical stuff about radio systems, because it's a whole other science unto itself. Right now, our system is essentially 25 to 35 years old. There's pieces of it that are newer, but essentially that's kind of what's in place. And there are limitations to that system in terms of, there's a lot of areas that coverage for the Sheriff's Department as well as County Fire is very weak. There's areas for the KPD that are weak as well, but they've created a series of workarounds in the city to address those things. The simulcast system would allow us, would require us to put up two towers. One in Silver Lake Park appears to be the most ideal location from a topography standpoint, and one down by the public safety building. There's two down at the public safety building. I can't remember how much this I've mentioned. I don't like to repeat myself, but I probably am. There's a tower that's located on top of the public safety building, dead center, that's been there since its construction in 82. It's fairly limited in what it can hold. It's at the maximum in terms of what it can handle. And there's a monopole that was added in 1995 when this building was put up. And that tower is at the maximum load for what it can handle. So we need to have another tower placed somewhere in that vicinity, downtown near the PSB, and adding one out in Silver Lake Park would give us the tower infrastructure, because we have them then downtown. 60th Street is a key tower. There's one at this building, which is a key tower. And then there'd be one at Silver Lake. There is one in Silver Lake right now, for those of you who live out here, where the old County Highway Department used to be. it's fairly limited. In fact, it's at the max of its capability right now, too. That would probably be most likely decommissioned when we build this new tower at Silver Lake. So the simulcast system would need four towers in place, and then there's a whole layer of radio equipment that basically forms that system. Those are things we're hoping to gain approval in the 2019 budget. Right now we're going through the RFP so that we can get, we've got estimates of things, but we want to get real estimates, better than estimates. So we had actually a walkthrough last Monday actually, and we had a number of radio provider, radio equipment manufacturers. We're great turnout. There was about 20 people at this thing. And I think there's a lot of interest in it, so I think we're going to be able to get, hopefully, some good numbers. We put together a very detailed RFP compared to the ones I've seen from other counties. I think the one we put together is in a good place. We're in the process now of answering questions from that walkthrough we had. We got 33 questions from the Motorola group today. We got 17 questions from Harris Radio Group last week, so it's kind of in process. I'll just keep the committee aware as this thing develops, as we get more information. But it's a big thing, so I want to make you aware of that. There's another piece of it that Joint Services needs to address, and that's the consoles in the dispatch center itself are, I can't remember the age, but I know they're at end of useful life. They don't meet current federal standards for working with the current encryption technologies and some of the other stuff that's required. They're in the process of putting together an RFP for that to replace those next year, and then that would be included in their budget. This, all this stuff kind of connects together because it all needs to be integrated. That's pretty much the whole pie of public safety.
Are there some grant money for any of that, like with the dispatch equipment?
I believe Joint Services is looking at grant money. We haven't identified anything specific yet for the simulcast project, but it's on the list to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's good.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because I can't remember if I said this at the last meeting. Matt Fleming, who's our purchasing director, was a former purchasing director in Portage County, Stevens Point. So he was actually familiar with this when I mentioned it to him, which kind of surprised me, because they had put a simulcast system in Portage County like 2 years ago. It was like an $8 million project. Okay, but what they did there, all of law enforcement and fire in the community were determined to get Motorola. So you can go to the state bid list. Motorola is on that list, as is Harris, and you can have them, then you can work with them as a professional consultant and put together your project. But at that point, you're working with one vendor. You don't have any competition whatsoever. So Walworth County did a similar thing. They did an RFP last year, and they used the same approach. They worked with just one vendor. Their project came in at about $7 million. So our project estimate, because we specifically worked with a consultant, we wanted it to be open architecture so everybody can bid on it. And right now our estimate is like $1.8 million for ours total. And that's why I'm curious. I want to get this RFP done and get numbers in from these folks, because it isn't locking in. Motorola is the big gorilla in the room. They like to design stuff so that everything that you purchase is locked into them. So it's like buying the Gillette razor. You only use Gillette blades with that thing. That's how Motorola likes to do stuff. We actually have that same system with building controls that Mike mentioned earlier. Train does the same thing, Johnson Controls. We've moved to open architecture on all our building controls, so we're not locked in, so we can competitively bid. We're doing the same thing on this, and the hope is that that's going to result in significant savings. So we'll find out, but that's the game plan.
Walworth County, they shelved it. They didn't.
They shelved it, yeah, because they said there's no way we can bite this off. It was just too much.
So that's like working with an integrator more so than a manufacturer.
Correct. Yeah, it's the same for manufacturing. It's the same thing that I did with robotics and vision systems. We always worked so that everything was to a standard, so that the Yaskawas could talk to the Finucs, could talk to the Siemens, could talk to the whatever. That's the same approach we're using with this stuff. So that's pretty much the whole radios thing. We're developing a bunch of highway infrastructure options, planning, cost estimates for budget purposes, just so we
there's a lot of stuff that we need to consider, not only for this next year, but kind of going forward the next few years from a highway standpoint. So Jim has been working with Clement and his team to put that kind of information together. Countywide ERP affects every county department. If you heard, it's basically a software that affects the entire county operation. That go live date is
September 4th.
So it'll change a lot of processes. It'll streamline a lot of processes, administrative and financial processing processes in the county. It's really going to be a big, major changes, but very positive changes. And the last thing is that there's a number of kind of stormwater drainage issues and investigations associated with those going forward. There's some in Summers, there's some in Pleasant Prairie. Some of the other ones have settled down now in some of the other areas, but those are the two areas that we've still got some ongoing ones. Just because the events that have happened this year have created issues for folks, and we're trying to sort out what the best way to solve the situations are. So lots of layers to those things. That's pretty much it.
Thank you, Ray. So before we adjourn, I want to remind everyone to hand your way with building.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, if you wanted to finish, but I just remember something too.
No, go ahead, I don't know.
Jim, did you want to set the dates for, or consider dates for budget review? And I thought I saw you.
Yeah. There's a few key dates. We will have our October Public Works Committee meeting on the 1st of October. On October 2nd, there's a county board meeting where the county executive hands out his budget to all the supervisors, so you'll be given the book then. We've already turned in preliminary numbers. We're doing a whole bunch of work between now and October, refining the county executive refines his budget. So on October 2nd, you'll get the budget book. And I was hoping to have our public works budget meeting on October 15th. Is a Monday night. That gives you from the 2nd to the 15th to review the budget before we meet and look at the public works budget. Then Wednesday the 24th, that's the date I've been given so far. I don't think it'll change, I'll let you know, is a day that we will go to the finance committee with our budget. And then usually it's 2 weeks after that, it's everything's there's some meetings where it goes through where you folks all approve it at the county board level and you do your debating there. So the key dates for us is the 1st and the 15th and the 24th.
Jim, are those all at 6:30?
The finance committee meeting on the 24th, I think it's at 6.
6?
I think it's at 6.
Usually 6.
Yeah. 6. There's two meetings that night. There's Public Works and there's Human Services. So we're supposed to be before Human Services. So, right. Unless they change.
15%.
Yeah.
That's us.
That's us. Yeah.
You'll get notified.
Right.
Yeah, we'll send you all kinds of stuff. But I'd like to tell people ahead of time in case they need to plan something.
Our group is 15.
Yeah. The 1st and the 15th are at 6:30. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, then, I guess I'll ask for a vote to go ahead.
Second.